down on you. So, oh, like I said, anybody happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You better believe it is. It is exciting. Now, it seems to me that everywhere I've been turning over the last several weeks, everywhere I go these days, there's a whole lot of people living in the what ifs. They are living in the what ifs. And I can't tell you how many times I tell people to quit living in the what ifs. I mean, really, why do we live in the what ifs? In all honesty, as I've thought about this past week, the what ifs truly plague our lives. They plague our lives. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for us to begin living in the what ifs either. I mean, we have become so reliant on a political divide. We're always just one election away. I hear this all the time. Oh, we're just one election away from things going straight down the tubes. You know, or we're so reliant on news stations to tell us the truth. But what we really receive is everyone has a political agenda. And don't get me started on all the conspiracy theories out in our world today. I mean, if you spend any time on social media, you have been subjected to lots and lots of people sharing their ideas, right? Sharing their ideas about the world's hot topics. The other day, saw an interview from Elon Musk and all the brains in our world. And you know what they're telling people? By 2033, there won't even be any need for jobs. Everything's going to just happen. Everything's going to be AI generated. Now, I could sit here and think, 2033, that's in my lifetime, I think, maybe, I don't know. I could sit here and worry about what 2033 looks like. Will it come to pass? What should I be doing now to get ready for 2033? No, we don't live in the what ifs. And God doesn't want us to live in the what ifs. You see, we say things, however, we say things like, I'm not worried about anything because God's got this. But deep down inside, you have worry. We have lots and lots of worry, right? I mean, a health diagnosis from the doctor. Well, you know, most people only live this amount of years long if they have any health issue. So I guess I better prepare now for that day. Oh no, if a certain political party gains control of our world, we are all doomed. And let's not forget the ever-growing talk about the end is near. Could the end be near? Sure. Days, months, years? What I believe is happening more and more every day in our world is this. We are allowing the idea that this might happen, you know, the what ifs, we're allowing that to steal our joy. We are allowing the what ifs to hinder us from actually enjoying the life that God has given us today. Let me ask you a few questions here. Do you believe that God woke you up this morning? Do you believe that God is in control? Do you believe that God will never leave you and will never forsake you? Do you believe that God wants the best for you and your family? I want to read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 this morning as we begin. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34 says this. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So how do we stop living in the what ifs? Well, the first thing I would ask you to write down is this. We must break the habit of living in the tomorrows. We have to break the habit of living in the tomorrows. Think about the nature of the what ifs, okay? The nature of the what ifs is borrowing trouble from tomorrow that does not belong to today, okay? Jesus said this, each day has enough trouble of its own, right? That's what he said. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So why am I so worried about tomorrow when I may not even get to tomorrow? Why? Jesus addresses this. He addresses human anxiety, not by ignoring the reality that we all can become anxious from time to time, right? We do. If we were to sit here and say, well, I never get anxious, you'd be lying to yourself and you're only setting yourself up for failure. But Jesus didn't deny it either. He didn't say, oh, you won't be anxious. No. He's encouraging us to not live in the tomorrows, to live in the today, right? You see, he addresses human anxiety about the future, right? He does, about the what ifs. And what he does, what Jesus does is he recenters our focus. He recenters our focus on God's character and God's presence in the 24 hours that we have, that we are living in. Okay? Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says this, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. They run after it. They're exhausted. They're going. They're running for the tomorrows. They're running, right? Jesus says they run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus is telling us to stay focused on the kingdom and God's righteousness, to stay focused on God's goodness. You see, according to Jesus, God's character is to be attentive to your needs. That's what he's saying. He is going to be attentive to your needs for that day. Okay? What's the Lord's Prayer? Anybody recite that? Give us this day our daily bread. You see, according to Jesus, God's character is to be attentive to your needs. That's what he just said, right? That's what he says. The pagans run after all these things, but your God, your Father in heaven, if you're a child of God, he knows your needs. He knows what you need, and he will provide for those needs. in Exodus 16. Think about it this way. In Exodus chapter 16, God provided manna and quail from heaven for the Israelites who were in the wilderness every morning for 40 years, I might add. God provided them what they needed for the day. Sad thing is, much like us, they grumbled about it as well. You know, it's like, hey, God is providing. God provided them for what they needed for the day. And here's the amazing thing about that. Something that you got to catch in that account of the Bible is God provided for them what they needed for the day, and they could only take what they needed for the day. Because whatever else they had excess wouldn't be good tomorrow. It would have to be thrown away. So you don't take more of, you say, well, I got this. Although Tracy's always having me eat leftovers. But truly, what God is saying is, I'm going to provide for your needs today, not for tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come, right? And the reality is, church, God is still providing manna for His children today. He is. I mean, it looks a little different, doesn't it? I mean, manna for today is a spiritual reminder to trust God for daily grace. To trust God in the details of life. Now, just as physical manna was the miraculous bread given one day at a time to the Israelites in the wilderness, we too receive daily manna by receiving enough strength, enough guidance, and enough provision for today without having to worry about tomorrow. Because you know what? If tomorrow comes, guess what? God will be there to provide for you too. If tomorrow comes, God will be there to provide those things for you tomorrow. Matthew 6:27 says this, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" You know, I mean, people are always, they're always trying to figure out, oh man, you know, I got to stay healthy, I got to do this, I got to do that. You know what, I got to be in shape whenever I get to 80, right? Or I got to be in shape when I get to 90. There are not too many people getting there. And I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I'm just saying live for today, not for 20, 30, 40 years from now. Something else I will say about breaking the habit of living in the tomorrows is the importance of focusing on what is true about today. Philippians 4:4-8 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when you find yourself getting a little anxious and a little worried, I'm here to tell you that you are probably focusing on the what ifs in your life. And what you need to do is focus on what is true. God is true. Amen? Amen. Today, and I have today. I have today. I have this moment right now. There's no guarantee of 5 minutes from now. There's no guarantee. But so many times we're living in the tomorrows. And we're bringing anxiety and worry into our lives that shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be there. If I just focus on what is true, God is true, and I focus on that I have today. God has given me a day. Anybody here thankful that they woke up this morning? God gave you a day. He gave you a moment. Because God is the one that holds your future in His hands. Amen? He does. He holds your future. You don't hold nothing. You hold nothing. God holds it all. You know, doctors can tell you that you only have a day to live. But whether or not you get another day is in God's hands. Amen? I know I've told this story before, but there was a little old lady. Her name was Mary Riley. Some of you may remember her. She was one of the first people that her and Bill Riley was one of the first couples that I met when I first started coming to church here. And years ago, doctors told little Mary Riley, she stood about 4 or 5, I think, maybe. Maybe it was 4 foot, I don't know. Little old Mary Riley, she was told, that doctors told her that she only had months to live. So she had herself, right down here at the clubhouse, she had herself a home-going party. She said, you know what? I'm not going to leave this to anybody else. I'm just going to do it myself because I'm going to be with Jesus. So I'm going to have me a little home-going party. Well, let me just tell you something, church family. She had that party and she was still here like 15 years later. Doctor says she had months to live. God's the one that held her future. Ain't nobody going to be with God until God says you're going to be with God. He's the one holding your future. Now, God is truth, right? I mean, the what ifs are not truth. That's the thing that we need to see. The what ifs are not truth. They are not. They only become truth if they actually happen. Okay? So let me share a few more thoughts on breaking the habit of living in the what ifs. Okay? Well, number one, the deception of the what if. Okay? The deception of the what if. What ifs create a false future where God's grace is absent? Now before you go, wait, what'd you just say, Pastor John? God's grace is absent? Now, before you ready to string me up and never come back again, let me share with you what I mean about God's grace is absent in the future, and that is this. When we are living in the what ifs, okay? When we are living in the what ifs, you feel like you're all alone, do you not? It means that you are worrying about bad things happening that may never happen, or you are forgetting that God is with you now and He will be with you if later comes. But why do the what ifs hurt and deceive us so much? Well, because we begin to operate out of fear. We begin to operate out of fear. Fear takes over. And you begin spending lots of time thinking about bad things, the what ifs, that are not real yet. They're not real. Oh, we fabricate them in our minds and we even come up with some kind of idea of what the what if looks like. But the reality is, you don't even know what tomorrow's going to look like. You don't. The best thing we can do is trust God. He is true. To rest in God. You see, to begin to trust God, I mean, what happens in the what ifs, and the reason why I say His grace isn't in the what ifs, is because we begin to trust God less and less and less. Oh, Pastor, I'm going to trust God with my life. Church, living in the what ifs is not trusting God at all. It's not. Living in the what ifs is not trusting God at all. And then these what ifs also lead a person to losing joy. They do. I see it all the time. They lose joy. You miss the good things happening to you today, right? The good things that are happening to you today because you are so worried about tomorrow. You're missing out on what God's doing. You're missing out on what God's doing in your relationships, in your family, in your life, because you're worried about something that may never, ever come to pass. Because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Yet living there robs you of what God is doing today. How many times have you taken your spouse for granted? Oh, they'll come home. Oh, they'll come home. Yeah, I'll tell that to the young lady that just lost her husband, right? She thought he was going to come home every day until he didn't come home. You see, we need to appreciate and we need to live in today, not in the what ifs. What did Jesus say? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? You can't. I mean, look, the what ifs cannot change tomorrow. Catch this. The what ifs cannot change tomorrow, but they routinely ruin the joy and productivity of today. They do. They do it all the time. Number two, remember who your Father is. Matthew 6, 26 through 30 says this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, what Jesus is saying there is, God feeds the birds and clothes the field, right? He does that. No detail of his creation goes without being noticed. Everything is noticed by God. Everything. Psalm 56, 8. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And just now I'm thinking of the song, there will be a day. There will be a day. But while we are here, according to Jesus' words, if God values you infinitely more than creation, than the birds, right? Than the animals. I know you talk to some people and maybe the animals are more important than people, but here's the thing. God takes care of all of them. And he loves you infinitely more than they. You can trust in his provision for you today and for the unknown that is to come. Number three, embrace God's grace for today. That's what I believe Jesus is encouraging us and telling us. Embrace God's grace for today. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay? I mean, we must remember how God works when providing manna for our lives. God gives us what we need, strength and encouragement one day at a time. One day at a time. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9 says this, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I can't do it, but he can. You see, when Paul was pleading with God to take away this thorn, right? He was thinking about how this thorn was hindering his ministry. He's like, look, God, if I keep having this thorn that I'm dealing with, I'm not going to be able to do what you want me to do a week from now, or a month from now, or 5 years from now. And God simply reminds Paul that was looking at this thorn as a hindrance to his ministry, to his future, right? And Paul prayed for God to remove it, and God said, no. I'm not going to remove it. You can pray to me, and you can pray to me, and you can pray to me, and Paul, you know what? I'm not going to remove that thorn. And the reason why is this. If God gives you a day, he will provide for you all that you need to get through the day. God, help me get through this thorn. And you know what? If I wake up tomorrow and tomorrow comes, God, you're going to have to help me get through this day with this thorn that I'm dealing with. You see, this thorn kept Paul humble, and it reminded him of his need for constant contact with God. You think we encourage you to be in the Word of God every single day and to be prayer in every single day because it's something that Church of the Lakes just thinks you need to do so that we can say, hey, look at our people. They're all in the Word of God. It's not that at all. It's because when you are in close contact with God, he is going to give you what you need for that day. He is going to provide for your every need. If God gives you a day, he will provide what you need to get through that day. And if tomorrow comes, he will do it again. Church, we must break the habit of living for the tomorrows so that we can enjoy what God has for us today. Truly. Which leads to my next thought. Number two, we must move from the what ifs to even if. We must move from the what ifs to even if. I want to read to you from Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 18 says this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, maybe you guys know the account in the Bible. Well, they face the ultimate fiery what if is what I call it. They face the ultimate fiery what if scenario under old King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what you see is King Nebuchadnezzar made this image of gold in the community, okay, or in the world, whatever you want to say. So he makes this image of gold. It was 90 feet high and it was 9 feet wide. Now King Nebuchadnezzar had a dedication to the image and then commanded all the people in Daniel 3, 4 through 6. He says this, then the herald loudly proclaimed, this is what you are commanded to do, O people. nations and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now, so the first time the instruments made their noises, their sound, and then all kinds of music started playing, and all the people, all the nations, all the men of every language fell down and worshiped the image. Well, everyone except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some tattletales, I'll just say it in my language, some tattletales went and told the king, and the king had them brought before him. Is this true? Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up? The king said, if you do not bow down the next time this happens, then you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand, the king said. Who's going to rescue you from my hand, from what I say is going to happen? Well, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold we have set up. Now, what can we learn about moving from the what ifs to the even if from this encounter? Well, number one, the importance of facing our fear without letting the fear rule. Okay? We all have fears, right? We do. We all have them. If you say you don't, you're just lying to yourself. Because we all have some kind of fear. Maybe it's spiders. I don't know. But we all have fears that we face. And here's the thing. I don't think God is saying to us that we need to stop being fearful. You know, hey, suck it up, Buttercup. Come on. You're a child of God. You shouldn't fear anything in this life. I don't know if you've been in any messages in the last few months, but we are just as much flesh as we are spirit. Okay, so we have fears. We all have fears that we face. The last thing we need to do is pretend that they don't exist. Okay? We don't pretend that they don't exist. Habakkuk 3:16 says this. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. You see, if you read on in Habakkuk, you will see the crop failure and the death of animals that would devastate Judah, right? Habakkuk, He affirmed that even in the times of starvation and loss, he would rejoice. He would still rejoice in the day that the Lord had given him. He said, you know what? God gave me a day. It'd probably help us if we lived in that, in today, that God, and be appreciative of the day God has given us. Maybe we'd be a little less grumpy. Maybe we'd treat our spouses a little bit better. I mean, truly. You think tomorrow's going to come that you can say, oh, I'm sorry, let's do this again in a week? No, come on. You see, Habakkuk's feelings were not controlled by the what if. Oh, no, we won't have food. We're all going to starve. That was not his response, was it? It wasn't. Not at all. Habakkuk turned his what ifs into even ifs. You see, even if the world around me crumbles and falls, even if a sickness comes against my body, even if I am cut off from the food supply in our world, I'm going to rest in knowing that my God will give me whatever I need today. Today. He will give me whatever I need to get through this day that He, I might add, has given us. Church, I believe there is power when we acknowledge our fears and we bring those fears before the one who can actually change things. Number two, there is power in the even if declaration, okay? There is power in the even if declaration. Daniel 3:18, but even if he does not. I love that. I love what he says there. You know, he's saying these young men, right? These young men that would face the fiery furnace, you know, if they disobeyed this worldly king and their response was, our God is able to save us. He is able to save me. He's able to save me from this cancer. He's able to save me from this pit of hell that I am facing. He is able to change things, right? But even if he doesn't. But even if he doesn't. You see, my friends, true faith in God does not demand a guarantee of comfort. Or that everything is going to work out the way I think it should. Unfortunately, some of us here this morning only follow God really close when things are good. When things start going bad, or the doctor says you got to do this, or the doctor says we saw a spot on your lungs or whatever, a lot of times we're going, what have you done to me, God? Where are you? Is life not much more than this? You see, true faith in God rests on the unchanging goodness of God regardless of the outcome. I'm not living for the tomorrow. I'm living for God. If God gives me today, if he gives me the day, then we need to live for Him. Amen? And I need to be appreciative of the things that God has provided to me, right? I mean, isn't that right? I mean, truly, I mean, instead of, well, you know what? You know what, God? Yeah, in about 20 years, I'll be able to enjoy life, you know? How many people are like stacking away money into retirement and everything else going, you know what? When I get to retirement age, baby, I am really going to start living. Yeah, you know who's going to be living? Your kids. Because they're going to be the ones spending your money. You can't live for 20 years from now. The reality is, you can't live for tomorrow. You should live for today. And be thankful for the day God has given you. And make the most of this day that He is given you, right? So they find, these three young men find themselves facing the fiery furnace situation. And then we see ourselves. We find ourselves facing a fiery furnace situation. You know, it's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring you down, right? That's what Mercy Me sang. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. You see, the even if declaration is a powerful declaration that moves us from worrying about the what ifs to stating that no matter what happens, God has got me. God has got my family. God has got this situation. God has got that situation. Why am I going to plague my life and my day worrying about what might or might not happen tomorrow? I mean, all it does is bring depression. It brings all kinds of negative things, the what ifs do. You know, God, I know you can heal me. God, I know you can change this circumstance. God, I know you can save me from this thing that I fear. But even if you don't, my hope will remain in you. You see, I mean, all you got to do is look at someone else that has what seems like a lot worse off life than you. And you will realize very quickly how blessed you are. You will realize how blessed you are. And brothers and sisters, always remember, as you are getting ready to enter the fiery furnace situation, number three, remember you will be walking into the fire with the fourth man. That's the thing. You will be walking into the fire with the fourth man. You see, church, when you stop trying to control the what ifs, you will discover that Jesus is already waiting in the middle of the trial with you, right? Daniel 3:24-27 says this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. What a testimony and a reminder for us today. Some of you might be thinking, "Oh, that's just a story." No, it really happened. There's evidence of that happening. Not only that, you do believe God's word is all true, right? You see, these young men were thrown into this fiery furnace, but they were completely untouched by the fire and the heat. Now, only the rope that bound them was burned. Now, I need you to hear me this morning. I need you to hear me right now. No human, no worldly situation or circumstance can bind us or take us out of what God wants us to be free. If God wants us to be free, then we will be free indeed. Amen? You see, the power available to us is the same power that was in that fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The same power. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Church, we need to trust God in every situation and circumstance. Every single one of them. We need to remember we are never alone. You are never alone. When you're sitting in that doctor's office and that doctor's coming in and he's telling you some news that you don't want to hear, I can promise you this, that your God, your Savior, is right there with you. He is ready to give you the strength that you need to get through that day. You know what? And if he chooses to take you home tomorrow, praise God. But if he chooses to give you another day, he's going to be there with you too. He will. He will. And I will leave you with this thought. There are eternal reasons for our temporary trials. So we must be thankful and we must rest in knowing that our destiny, our future, our what ifs are in God's hands, not in human hands. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will not live in the what ifs, because my life and my future is in his hands. What can man do to me? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the encouragement that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. God, I know that, myself included, I know that we live in the what ifs a lot of days. God, help us to stop living in the tomorrows and just enjoy what you've given us today. To appreciate what you have given us today. And God, thank you for the reminder through little old Mary Riley that even though man says one thing, it is only when you decide that this life ends. God, as we face the trials and the tribulations in this life, God, may we remember that you have blessed us with this day and you are with us today. And if tomorrow comes, Lord, you will be there with us too. God, help us to focus on your kingdom and your righteousness. And may you be glorified through the lives that we live each day. Thank you for being an amazing God. And thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? If you're part of the missions team, I would ask you to come back to the gathering place for just a quick meeting just about next week. And now I just pray that the Lord blesses you throughout the week ahead. I pray that if tomorrow comes, that you will appreciate what God gives you. But for today, I pray that you appreciate and remain joyful in the day that he's given you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.